Good morning, church family. I'm here in the sanctuary. I wanted to give you guys a little sense of normal. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning. It's going to be a great morning in the Lord. It is Palm Sunday morning. It's a fantastic day for us to remember some of the events that led up to Jesus' death, and which eventually would give us eternal life. And so I'm so glad that you're here this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer as we get started. Father, thank you again for this morning. Father, we ask that you would just be amongst us no matter where we're meeting, no matter how we're gathering. God, that you would be in our presence. God, it is one of the most fantastic things about who you are is that you can be everywhere all the time. And so, God, we ask that you would help us to feel your presence. God, that you would help us as we study your word. And God, as your word speaks to us, God, that we would be prompted to action by the help of the Holy Spirit. God, we love you, and we thank you again for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. What an exciting time to be a believer. What an exciting time to be a part of Live Oak Baptist Church. I'm so glad that you are with us this morning. Pretty much every time you think about Easter is right around the corner, but if you really want to think about things in the right way, every time we open God's Word, every time we look at Scripture, as soon as we can, we make a beeline to the cross. We make a beeline to the gospel, which is inclusive of Jesus' birth, his life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. And so every Sunday, every time that we open God's word and make a beeline to the cross and the gospel, we're celebrating Easter in a way. And so as we get started this morning, because Easter is next week, we're going to talk about Palm Sunday and what happened as Jesus began to come into Jerusalem. So let's don't delay anymore. Let's turn to John chapter 12, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do. Let's turn to John chapter 12. We're going to pick up where Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. This event, if you didn't know, can be found in all four Gospels. This event, each one of those events in each Gospel has its own nuance, but they're all pretty much the same. But I'm going to pick up in John. It is the shortest account of this event, but it does not lack in power or punch. And so let's take a look at it. John chapter 12, starting in verse 12, it says this. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason also, the people went and met him, because they heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him." Father, thank you again for this morning. Father, we ask that your blessing over your divine and set apart word. God, as always, we ask for help from the Holy Spirit as we interpret your word. God, help it to speak to us individually. And again, help it to move us to action in our faith. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's be reminded here of a couple things as we start with verse 12. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Jesus is no stranger to large crowds. We've seen this all the way through the Gospels. We see this every time Jesus, as he picks up into his ministry, as he's beginning to really... his ministry is starting to take hold, we see that he is no stranger to the crowd. But here, I want to be reminded that Jesus also, as he would draw a crowd, he would also drive them away with his words, because his words were so hard to receive sometimes, because it cost people a lot to follow him. And some people just didn't like that message. But you see here, crowds are nothing new for Jesus, but this particular crowd had something that Jesus, they had a different significance, if you will. In the ancient world, I want to take you back to history. In the ancient world, entries into cities by meaningful people was nothing new. It was basically an established feature of the culture of the time. So important people would come into town, and important people would come into town with a parade or a celebration, if you will. I want you to think back about 5 months ago, President Trump went to the Metroplex to do a campaign rally. And whenever he started to get to come to town, they began shutting down streets. And I know this because not because I went to the rally, but because I heard the DJs on the radio that are from the Metroplex at this particular station, they were talking about the traffic. They were talking about how their lives had been turned upside down because President Trump was coming to town. And so streets were shut down. Entire blocks and entire places of business were pretty much shut down for a short period of time while his motorcade and his campaign people and particularly him went through town. It was just for safety and for another couple of reasons because large crowds would gather. Now, I don't want to in any way, shape, or form compare what happened in the Metroplex and our president to what's happening to Jesus, but I want to give you the idea of a hero's welcome, if you will. Jesus comes to town, and it's the same type of mentality. It's the same type of frenzy from the people. A large crowd had gotten together. Now, commonly in the ancient world, these gatherings and these entries into town were set for military people, military leaders. You and I would do well to think of a Roman emperor or a Roman military leader that has conquered in a battle. They have gone to battle. They have conquered their enemy, and they have come back into town. And they have brought with them all of the gold and the treasure that they've received from winning the battle. They've also come into town, and they have brought with them the people that they've conquered, the slaves. And so here's the thing. As they would come into town, they would also burn incense. And to the victor, to the person that was riding into town, getting the hero's welcome, that smell, the smell of incense would be like the smell of victory. And it would be like the smell of, it would be the smell of victory for them and for the people that had been conquered and the slaves that were riding in behind them or walking in behind them, it would be the smell of death and defeat. And so Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 take on a whole new meaning for us. If you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 14, it says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God." So you see, just as the victor would come in and get that smell of incense and be like, "Oh, this is the smell of sweet victory." And to the ones that were perishing and the ones that had been conquered, they would talk about how it stunk and reeked of death. This is the way that some people look at God's word, but we are to preach it nonetheless and let God do what God can do in the preaching of his word. Let's go back to John chapter 12. Look at verse 13. It says this. Remember, the large crowd has gathered together. It says in verse 13, "They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.'" And so as you begin to think about what the crowd is doing, now you can understand, because of their ancient history, they have a way of looking at things and a way of greeting someone as a hero coming into town, a military leader returning home. And now they're doing that with Jesus, and he's coming in, and they've grabbed palm branches and they are shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're rejoicing as Jesus comes, and they're treating him as he has already won a victory. Now, Jesus is the king. Jesus is the rightful king of all that we know. But the people would see him as a military victor. They didn't understand that he would soon come to conquer something much greater than just the next nation over. That he would come to conquer death and claim a victory for us for eternity. Jesus always wanted to fulfill Scripture. He had to fulfill Scripture, and that's where we get verse 14 and 15. It comes from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It's that verse in the Old Testament says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so Jesus, knowing he has to fulfill that prophecy in Zechariah, comes in on a donkey's colt. Now, in a society where people normally walked, Jesus no doubt took a different route for a couple of reasons, because he needed to set this event apart and not just have him walk in, because Scripture did not say in the prophecy, it did not say Jesus is going to just walk into Jerusalem. It says your king is coming even on a colt. And so Jesus needed that colt. He had to ride into town. And it set this event apart to fulfill prophecy and fulfill Scripture. And in that fulfilling, he got a hero's welcome. Now, to John chapter 12, verse 16. "These things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that all that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him." Oh, the disciples, I so often am caught in the idea that the disciples and I would get along so well because Jesus is doing all of these things, and Jesus has been looking and ministering to people and serving and praying and doing miracles. And the disciples and I and you and I sometimes, and even in all of that, We get so caught in just wondering what God is up to. We find ourselves grasping for reasons as to why God is doing what God is doing. We find ourselves grasping at understanding. We find ourselves just grappling with and wrestling with, God, what are you up to? Whenever all of the whole time, God has been working in and through people and in and through our circumstances and in and through our local church, and in and through everything, God has been at work. And we so often, just like the disciples, we get caught in this this idea that we don't understand. Verse 16, "These things his disciples did not understand at first. But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written of him." So you think about at first, that phrase, at first. They didn't understand at first what was happening. But now that they've seen a little bit more, they understand that Jesus had to do these things. So what does that leave us? Let's not get caught like the disciples in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, okay? We often do not understand what God is up to, and that is okay. But in a moment, just like this, whenever God has so ordained things and so placed things in motion where we have an opportunity to spend more time with our family, how many of you guys have spent more time with your kids in the last 3 or 4 weeks than you have maybe in the entire year? How many of you guys have spent more time checking on your family and being a part of being with your family through media or technology than you have in the last year? You know, it's so incredible that we are in this time when all of the distractions have been put to the side. There's no formal school except for at home. There is no sports. We don't have live sports. We don't have baseball games out at the park. We don't have basketball to watch. We don't have anything. as far as sports goes. And that is what has ruled our lives for so many years. And so many people have gotten caught in this idea that all of these sports are so critical. Whenever God really says, and we're seeing now, I haven't heard a single report of anybody dying because they didn't make it to their Little League baseball game last week. I have not heard a single report of somebody dying because they couldn't watch sports online. They couldn't watch what they normally watch on TV because it's not live. I have not heard a single story of that. But God has so ordained things in this time, in the middle of this pandemic, for us to re-engage with our families, to reignite what God has said from the beginning of all time, is to say, I want you to take my word and I want you to teach it to your children. I want you to take my word and I want you to live it out and be the church, no matter whether you're meeting in the building or not. All of these things are happening in front of us, and all of these things are happening on a daily, hourly basis with this pandemic. And things are changing rapidly. And some of us sit and look like the disciples and go, we don't understand. We don't get it. We don't quite understand what God is doing, but then you think about a little bit more and you get a little more revelation and you read God's word and he says, you know what? I'm doing this so that you can re-engage with me. I'm doing this so that you can understand me and that you can turn your face to me and see all of the things and all of the good that comes from the middle of this crisis. I want you to fill in the blank because I want to read verse 17 and 18 because as we begin to come to the finish this morning, so the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason also the people went and met him because they heard that he had performed this sign. You see, in John chapter 11, we find Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. And we find Jesus perform one of the few times in Scripture where somebody actually does come back to life. Lazarus, a dead man in a tomb, rotting and stinking with his corpse. He stinketh, it says in Scripture. Jesus takes Lazarus and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he raises Lazarus from the dead. And people saw and people heard and people testified. Because when God moves in your life and God does something so miraculous in your life, you have to talk about it. And people said, they were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead in verse 17, and they continued to testify about him. Now, here's what I want you to fill in the blank with. In the middle of the COVID-19 crisis and pandemic, I have seen God blank. I have seen God move in this way, fill in the blank. Why? Because if God does it, if God moves in such a way and God fills in the blank for you in the middle of this pandemic, in the middle of this crisis, you have had an opportunity to have a conversation with a family member. You've had an opportunity to have a conversation with a coworker. You've had an opportunity to have a conversation with a neighbor. You've had an opportunity to go out and love somebody like you've never done before and give and be a servant and just share the love of Jesus Christ, then you get to fill in the blank. And whenever God moves in that way and you fill in the blank, then you have to talk about it. And that's where we are this morning. We have an opportunity to talk about all that God is doing in the middle of this pandemic. And because God is doing it, we have to talk about it. You see, whenever God moves in such a way, when God fulfills his word and his scripture and his ways, all the way from the beginning of verse 12, all the way through, God is fulfilling his destiny and coming into Jerusalem. And so the people, in verse 17, had to testify about him. And then verse 18, so for this reason, because all of the people went and met him. When God moves and when we talk about it, people will come to meet him. And there are so many people in our county, so many people in our nation that need to hear the truth of God's word. And because God is moving and God is doing in their lives right now like he has never moved and done before through the local church and through the body of Christ and all of us serving together, people are going to come to know him. And that is going to be the good news that comes out of this crisis. In the middle of this pandemic, what have you done? How has God changed you in such a way that you have to talk about it? Because we serve a God that brings hope. We serve a God that brings life. We serve a God that is the God of all creation and all the universe. We've got to talk about him. So in the middle of this pandemic, I want you to be reminded that Jesus rode into Jerusalem and was hailed as a king. He got a hero's welcome just like a victorious military leader. And it would be hailed, and some would say it is reflective of his second coming, because he will come back one day and we will talk about him as king and we will bow before him as king. And he's already received that from the people there in Jerusalem whenever he came in, and they were foreshadowing that. Let this be in the beginning of, in the middle of this crisis, in the middle of this pandemic, let this be when we get to return and have a hero's welcome back to Scripture, back to our families talking about God and doing things for the church and doing things as the church, I should say. And let's have a triumphal return to loving God and loving people and advancing the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we finish talking about the triumphal entry, God, you got to ride in the form of Jesus. You rode into Jerusalem and received a hero's welcome. God, it was a triumphal return for most of those people in the crowd. They saw it as a return of the king. God, would we, in the middle of this crisis as a nation, have a triumphal return to you? God, where we are pushed in a way where all the distractions are gone, that we might focus on you, that we might push our families to talk about you, that we might talk about Scripture with our children and our grandchildren, that we might interject hope and truth and comfort and peace in the middle of this chaotic storm. God, there's so much that's going on in the middle of our world. God, there's so much that we are unsure of, but God, we are sure of one thing, and that is the hope that we find in you. And so, God, as we talk about you, as we interject life into death, as we interject truth into false statements, God, as we interject your word into our nation, God, would it move us in such a way that people have to talk about you more and more and more? And therefore, we get the triumphal return to talking about you, to living out your word, to being obedient to you, and to being the church, no matter whether we have walls to meet around or not. Father, we love you, and we give this time to you. I thank you for each person that's gathered this morning to talk about your word, and we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great Sunday morning, church family. I'm so glad that you were here, and I look forward to seeing you again very soon. Keep watching your email as next week, weather permitting, we are going to try to plan to have a drive-up church service. And so you'll be able to drive up in your car. We'd ask that your family stay in the car. We would ask that you'll have an opportunity to turn the radio on and hear the sermon that way. We'll have live music for you and speakers so you can roll the windows down and hear. We're going to have a fantastic Sunday morning, and so just pray for good weather. And we're looking forward to seeing every face and maybe making some new friends just from across the way. And we're looking forward to having a great Easter Sunday morning. So have a great this Sunday morning, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.